All right, back at Young Turks, Jake Uger, Anna Crispera with you. You know, Anna, you were on during the Air America days, which was when we were on XM.
That's right.
Were you ever on Sirius?
I think I was. Well, back then, the content I produced was entertainment and gossipy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe Sirius was really into that. So maybe I would come in and comment on some political mm-hmm. stories during your hour. But I don't think that I was part of the Sirius situation.
No, we did a lot of goofy stuff on Sirius, trust me.
Yeah.
Believe me. Okay, so there's some old school folks who used to listen to us back then. First of all, bless your heart. You might remember Jill Pike, and she's now in Washington, D.C., not with us anymore. But Ben Mankiewicz is still here, Michael mm-hmm. Schur is still here, Wes Clark is still here, and you'll see them and hear them on future shows. Okay, so let me give you some quotes from the audience here, hashtag TYT Live to talk to us throughout the show. Liquid Beef says, I'm sure if Trump destroys these tapes, his followers will be just as critical of Trump as they were of Hillary destroying emails. Wait for it, but don't hold your breath. Okay, Old Turk says, what's up with these idiot presidents recording their crimes? You're here, brother, but thank God that they're that stupid. And Taylor says, Trump is over, just a matter of time until the circus ends. We actually have a poll on that too, tytnetwork.com/Trump. Is Trump done? That's what we're asking on that poll for you guys. Our members of the day are Mike Maloney and Basil Peterson, and our members support the show and make it happen. That's tytnetwork.com/join. Today in the post game, and that's for members only, I'm going to do one of my pet peeves, Calista Gingrich. Mm. Okay, Newt Gingrich's wife.
I love this topic. Just because Cenk is so unfair, and I'm going to disagree with him, which is strange considering the story is about Newt Gingrich and Calista.
Yeah, I'm going to be wildly unfair to Newt Gingrich in the post game. I know what you're thinking. Can't wait. TYTnetwork.com/join to get the post games.
Yep.
And the whole 2 hour show ad free. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. More than 150 countries have been hit with ransomware. This is essentially malware that encrypts data on an individual's or a company's computer system, which they will not be able to get any access of unless they pay a certain amount to these hackers. Now, the malware known as WannaCry paralyzed computers running factories, banks, government agencies, and transport systems, hitting 200,000 victims in more than 150 countries. Among those hit were Russia's interior ministry and companies including Spain's Telefonica and FedEx Corp in the United States. The virus took control of users' files and demanded $300 payments to restore access. I should also note that if the individuals impacted by this didn't pay the $300 within a certain amount of time, they would double the ransom amount. And then later, if they didn't pay, they would threaten these individuals by saying they would erase the data completely. So more than 200,000 computers have been affected so far. And authorities and politicians in various countries are expecting the malware, or I should say ransomware, to evolve and continue to impact even more computers. BBC analysis of three accounts linked to the ransom demand suggests about 38,000 had been paid by Monday morning.
You know, that's actually not that much. And as I look at this, I'm a little more worried. Now, mm-hmm. why is that? They were expecting a bigger hit on Monday than they got over the weekend. They didn't get that. And it almost, to me, as I read through all the stories explaining it, felt like a trial run. Mm-hmm. So let's see what we can do. Now, if they were only got $38,000 so far, and they were sophisticated enough to steal stuff from the NSA mm-hmm. and unleash it on the whole world, China, Russia, Indonesia, US, UK, etc. And you only, I mean, again, they'll get a little bit more by the end, but that's not a big hit, right?
Has the NSA ever achieved anything worth it? Other than spying indiscriminately on Americans and not being smart enough to protect their own strategies from hackers who have now used their strategies against not only the American people, but 150 other countries.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm reading a history of the CIA, and one of the biggest, their top counterintelligence guy, whose job was to catch communists, mm-hmm. in a span of over 20, 25 years, never caught anyone. Mm-hmm. He wrote a lot of people out of town and they were all false accusations, so destroyed the careers of good Americans. And it turns out the top Russian spy was his best friend. So that's usually their track record, right? So now in this case, both the CIA and the NSA have top secret stuff that they have figured out, especially, but let's focus on the NSA portion here, because that's what's in the news today, about the vulnerabilities of Microsoft Windows. So now Microsoft says, hey schmucks, tell us so we can fix it, so that we're not, the whole world is not exposed to these kind of dangers, right? And the NSA goes, no, I want to keep it, because I might want to use it against my enemies. But I'm going to keep it on a computer, which I can't protect. Oops,
right.
They hacked into it and got it and now have unleashed it throughout the world. And it looks like they just did a trial balloon. Wait till they can do the real thing. Oh, for Christ's sake.
I'm sorry, Adam,
one more thing. I'm going to give you a sense of scope, like hospitals, schools, right? As you know, we talked about here. But like gas stations, malls, power plants. So if you actually, they could send messages to the whole world. They could shut down nuclear power plants. God knows what happens when that happens, let alone all the information they've already taken from hospitals. And if they delete them, then there goes your files, etc. It could be untold, historic, epic damage if this virus goes global and hits all the computers.
I mean, this virus has gone global. It's just what the hackers have used the virus for, which is to collect relatively small sums of money, to be fair. Like
you're right.
I mean, you would think that they would ask for more than $300 in, or they're not asking for $300. They're asking for 300 in Bitcoin. $300 worth of Bitcoin. So I think what's also interesting about this is, yes, schools, hospitals, small businesses and even large businesses have been impacted by this. But also keep in mind, according to BBC Technology, in Japan, both Nissan and Hitachi reported some units had been affected. I mean, think about all the people who are going to suffer from not being able to purchase their personal massage devices as a result of this. We need to do something immediately.
Okay,
I'm joking around, obviously, but you know what I mean.
So the Chinese industry's been hit, and even the Russians were hit. Their interior ministry was hit. Now, no one knows who did it, but if you were going to do all these hits, you would certainly hit yourself a little bit as well to throw people off the track. I'm not putting it on the Russians. I have no idea who did it, okay? And but don't worry, NSA is on top of it. Like Anna said, have you ever done anything positive? You've spied on all Americans, and what do we have to show for it? But if they actually stopped terrorist attacks, you know how much they would brag about it?
Yeah.
Donald Trump, you know how quickly he'd hold a press conference? I stopped an attack, I'm the best, I'm the greatest, Trump, tremendous, believe me, we spied in on all of you and we stopped this attack. But no such thing, right?
Right.
I'm not saying they've never done anything effective, but they've unleashed this plague in the world. And do you have any confidence they're going to catch the guys who did it? So far, they haven't.
And here's one other thing I wanted to make sure everyone knew about. So there is a way to protect yourself, and that way is to ensure that you're updating the software on your computer. In fact, 2 months ago, Microsoft realized that there was this vulnerability because of what was leaked regarding the NSA. And so they created a software update to protect individuals. Now, for you or for me, it's actually relatively easy to just update the software. But when it comes to a large company or when it comes to a hospital, that's actually a very complicated and complex thing to do because you need the computers up and running, right? And so it's also costly. So a lot of these hospitals were unable to do it. And, you know, unfortunately, they were victimized as a result of this ransomware.
But, you know, somebody made a great point, Anna, about that. They said, you know, Microsoft requires you to pay a lot of money to update your systems. That's almost a ransom in and of itself.
Yeah, if you're a hospital or a large company, yes.
Yeah, I mean, wait. It's your product. If it's vulnerable, why am I paying to update it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I either have to pay a ransom to Microsoft or I got to pay a ransom to the guys who hijacked my data. And where's the NSA? If it was their fault that they got the information at all, why aren't they paying? But always privatize the gain, socialize the costs. So this cost is on all of us. Brilliant work, NSA. Brilliant.
All right, moving on to some other news. The city council in Charlottesville, Virginia had voted to sell some Confederate statues in the area. Now, this was something the city council agreed on. However, a judge had ruled that there should be a temporary injunction, 6-month injunction, while he reviews this case. Now, of course, when it comes to anything involving the Confederates, you're gonna have some white nationalists get involved and voice their concerns. Case in point, Richard Spencer. So over the weekend, there was a gathering at the Charlottesville Lee Park just after 9 p.m. Saturday. And the individuals there were chanting, "You will not replace us, Russia is our friend, and blood and soil." So those were their chants. And they were trying to make a statement about how these statues should not be taken down, they should be preserved. And I was gonna ignore this story until I realized there's a big point to take away from it. All the people who keep making arguments that the Confederate flag or these Confederate statues have nothing to do with race. Why is Richard Spencer getting involved? Why does he feel so passionately about this to the point where he mobilizes about 150 people, by the way, bearing torches in the middle of the night, just so they can protest in support of these statues?
Well, it's an obvious reference to the Klan, right? So this is the new, theoretically sophisticated version of the Klan, and they're proud of it, and they say, "You will not erase us," meaning white supremacists from history. So the Confederacy, the whole point was white supremacy. They say, no, states' rights. States' rights to do what? To own property. What kind of property? Slaves. Okay, I got it. White supremacy. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so you will not replace us. And by the way, Trump, since he did so friendly with the Russians, all of a sudden the right wing, who hated the Russians, because they're thoughtless idiots, their dear leader tells them, "Now you love Russia," and they go out there and chant, "Russia is our friend," because they have no minds of their own. This is what pathetic, stupid, authoritarian followers do. What bunch of beta males go out there, "Oh, Trump made money from the Russians, Russia is our friend, Russia is our friend."
What a weird chant, especially given the event that they're protesting at, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, but you're right, they're simple-minded, they don't think for themselves, they're like sheep. And they have their little white supremacist leader telling them, "Hey, gather here, bearing torches," right? And by the way, we have some pictures that compare this gathering to some events that we experienced in history, in American history. So let's take a quick look at that.
And in case it wasn't absolutely clear to you guys from the obvious picture of them holding the torches, not flashlights, not candles, torches, okay?
Tiki lights to be.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's the new version of the Klan is tiki torches. Anyway, now let's take a comparison side by side. The pictures are nearly identical. Now, they say part of the reason they did it was an ode to the dead, okay? Well, you know, probably the next one they'll have white sheets on, because an ode to the dead, you want to look like a ghost. That's why we put the white sheets on. Everybody knows what the torches are for. Okay, now look, for the people who don't want the statues removed, there is a range of those folks. I was at a law firm where there was someone from the South, from Virginia, just like here in Charlottesville, Virginia. He was an old Southern gentleman, and he would take the people that worked for him and toast Robert E. Lee's birthday every birthday. He'd take you out for drinks and toast. Now, me being the guy that I am, as soon as he toasted for Robert E. Lee, I said, "And for Grant too." Okay? Uh-huh. And I got a lot of looks like, "Oh, what are you doing? Are you crazy? We're toasting Lee. Don't toast Grant. He's going to be pissed." Okay. Nonetheless, I'm going to be generous and say that old school gentleman didn't think it through that much. I'm being way, way too generous here.
Okay. Who the hell toasts to Robert Lee? Like, okay. Who does it?
But in the South, there's
The South is a weird place.
Okay? I know.
I don't understand it. Maybe that's me in my elite LA bubble, right? You guys lost. You lost. Let it go. You lost, and it was over slavery. Okay. The Confederates fought to keep slavery intact. They wanted to enslave human beings. Okay. Not only is that wrong, you lost. What are you? You're toasting that guy? Really?
Yeah. So, look, I know that it's become part of this, the heritage culture, whatever, to some degree of the South. But just because something is in your is in the past doesn't make it a good thing by definition. Slavery was in the past. Let's keep it in the past. Let's not continue to celebrate that heritage, right? And so, And by the way, if you disagree, and I know I've been in the South a million times, there's all these bumper stickers about like, oh, liberals don't know anything, man, they should read. You read. You look at everything that the Confederates wrote as to why they separated from the Union. And they proudly declare, it was because of slavery.
It was because of slavery.
Because we want to keep our slaves and our property. And how dare the North infringe on our freedom to enslave other human beings. Because they're not really human, we're white. And we're supreme to them. We are superior to them. Hence, white supremacy, right? So they brought it back here. So you're right, Anna. The main part of the story is not that a bunch of goofballs went out there and did this thing trying to grab attention. The point is, they got enough people out there to hold a modern day Klan rally.
That's right.
And that is clearly intended to be. So let's put aside the talk of whether they're trying to be racist or not. You don't imitate the Klan unless you're trying to be racist. It's not complicated, it is resolved. If you still think it's not racist, you're actually one of them. And you yourself are tremendously racist if you can't see the racism in this, okay? So just let it go, just admit it. Say, yeah, I don't like minorities. I don't like black people. I don't like Latinos.
I mean, Richard Spencer doesn't even hide it. I mean, that's the point. Richard Spencer is openly racist. He's proudly racist. He refers to himself as a white nationalist. And he's the one who mobilized these people to do this demonstration while they're holding these torches in the middle of the night. So, by the way, the reason why this protest had to break up is because there was a fight among the protesters, and so cops had to clear the scene. I mean, they're such clowns, they can't even get along with one another. They're so hateful that the one thing that unifies them doesn't even work. It still divides them within their own group.
Well, and counter-protesters had also come too, but within them, they get one of the things that divides them is, should we also hate the Jews?
Right.
Okay, it's one of my favorite things. They had a deplorable ball among the balls to celebrate Donald Trump during the inauguration. And they got into a huge fight about whether to hate everyone but the Jews or whether to also hate the Jews.
Right.
And so maybe that's what, you know, but if they all burn themselves, if they get into a fight like that.
I know. It's hilarious.
But overall, this movement is not funny, okay? Because what has happened under Trump was something that was long dead and buried has risen its ugly, ugly head again. And so if we don't call it out for what it is and look to fight against it, they're going to get further emboldened and it's going to become normal again. And we can't have Klan rallies become normal again. Remember, the Klan was the biggest terrorist group in American history. They terrorized other American citizens. They lynched them, they murdered them, and their whole point was to sow terror throughout that population to make sure they never ask for their rights. It is the definition of terrorism. So if these guys are wannabe terrorists, we should treat them as such.
All right, we need to take a break, so let's do that. And when we come back, one of my favorite stories involving what Republicans in North Carolina have done to punish Democrats in their districts.
All right, back on the Young Turks. We're just talking about the last episode of Old School, that's for members as well, and how we discovered that the LGBTQ community also has an acronym called Quilt Bag. So if you want to find out what that is, become a member, tytnetwork.com/join, and listen to last week's Old School. All right, this today's post game, we're going to discuss Newt Gingrich and his wife, and who's a top and who's a bottom.
It would be a very inappropriate post-game show, I can already tell.
TYTnetwork.com/join. Okay, the man has no name writes in on hashtag TYT Live. This ransom story is kind of terrifying, just the beginning of stuff like this going down, global issue. Greed. Dylan C. Diggle says, why can't all these Confederate monuments just be moved to a Civil War museum? Yeah, you want to celebrate your heritage? Go to the museum, yeah. Right? You want to just buys that heritage, go to the museum, either way. Marissa N says, watching TYT Live with Grandma, and she's heartbroken to see the KKK back without masks, meaning they're proud to show their faces. Racism is real. Mm-hmm. Marissa, that's a great point. At least the Klan hid their faces. Mm-hmm. These guys don't even do that.
I remember one of the stories that we did back in the day was about Dr. Laura and how she had a black collar call in and complain about how her white in-laws, they made her feel like she was discriminated against. And Dr. Laura kept referring to her as the N-word. And then she got into a lot of trouble over that. And her big defense was, we elected a black guy, were over racism, right? At that time, Obama was the president.
Yeah.
And it's just, I wonder what goes through her mind when she sees people like Richard Spencer mouthing off and doing these protests.
No, well, you know, Trump supporters don't have a mind. They're authoritarian by nature and they will always follow the alpha male. They are natural born cucks. So they'll make an excuse for it. You think, I'm sure I'd be shocked if Dr. Laura didn't vote for Trump, and I'd be shocked if she wasn't as submissive to him. And so she'll probably just, oh yeah, yeah. I mean, they were just, you know, it was an ode to the dead. That's why they brought torches like the Klan and rallied around a Civil War Confederate statue. Because no, it's got, what do you mean racism? You guys are so sensitive.
All right, let's move on. Are we ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
An official with the US Citizenship and Immigration Services, of course these are immigration officials, showed up to Public School 58 in Queens looking to apprehend a fourth grader. But thanks to a policy that was implemented by Bill de Blasio, he was unable to apprehend this child. Now, de Blasio issued a directive to the NYPD to not allow immigration and customs enforcement agents onto school grounds unless they had a valid warrant. In this case, the official did not have a valid warrant and as a result was not allowed to enter the school grounds and communicate with the fourth grader. Now, what's amazing to me is, really, you're going to apprehend a fourth grader? I mean, I thought the Trump administration was interested in going after and deporting these violent, dangerous criminals. I didn't know that fourth graders were violent and dangerous.
Well, I mean, do you know that he's not a bad hombre, Anna? So what I'm amused by is the Trump supporters who are surprised. So of course, that now the famous story in Indiana of the family who's where the wife voted for Donald Trump and all the family members and all the friends voted for Trump, not all of them but a great majority of them, and it turns out that her husband was undocumented, but they're like, but he was a good hombre and he got deported anyway.
They, you know, literally said that was a quote verbatim, he was a good hombre.
So that good hombre right now is in the middle of Mexico, gone, removed, okay? And if you're a fourth grader, hey, are you Latino and undocumented? That's it. I'm not having a conversation about. They say, because the Trump administration then turns around and says, if you're undocumented, by definition, you are illegal and we can remove you. So if it wasn't clear enough, you think they won't go after babies? No, a fourth grader, what could a fourth grader have possibly done?
I mean, those 9-year-olds are very dangerous.
Yeah. So if you think they're not coming for you, you're wrong. They are.
By the way, and that's. Doing these home raids is one thing, okay? Going to a child's school, think about how traumatic that is, especially for an elementary school student. How traumatic it is for a federal agent, and again, this is not a federal agent with ICE, this is, you know, an immigration official who essentially does the same thing, but nonetheless, showing up and apprehending you, or even pulling you away and questioning you in front of all your classmates. How incredibly intimidating and scary is that for a child?
Yeah, they're monsters. And so this is going to happen more and more. Now, funny enough, though, there was a separate article today in the news about how Donald Trump has talked to the giant farming companies. And he promised them in a meeting that they called, quote, very productive, that he actually will not go after their workers. Now, wait a minute, wasn't that this? I thought this whole thing was about that. Like, hey, the nativists that supported Donald Trump thought, well, my wages are low because of all the damn immigrants taking my jobs, so Trump's going to kick those people out. It turns out, no, since they affect big business, which are his donors, those are the only ones he's not going after. So the thing that you actually wanted addressed, he's making sure he doesn't address it.
That's right.
Because they have given him political donations. And instead, they're rounding up fourth graders and people running perfectly good businesses in the middle of Indiana who'd been reporting to the authorities all throughout. Who cares? Kick them out. They didn't give me a political donation. The whole point of this was to rebuild a swamp.
It's unbelievable. All right, let's go on to North Carolina. The North Carolina Senate has been voting and negotiating on a budget. And very recently, they voted in favor of a budget that actually strips funding away from schools and programs in specifically Democratic districts. Now, they did this as a punitive measure. Let me give you the details. The Senate had rejected 5 amendments from Democrats to fund their spending priorities, but each time one proposal was shot down, another one was filled. Was filed. Now, Senate Rules Chairman Bill Rabin abruptly called for a recess, stopping the proceedings for nearly 2 hours. GOP leaders headed to a conference room with legislative budget staff, while Democrats, some surprised by the lengthy delay, passed the time with an impromptu dance party in the hall.
No, that's fine.
Okay, Democrats in North Carolina are having fun. I love it. But here's the issue. They need to read legislation before they vote on it. They need to read budget proposals before they vote on it. And unfortunately, in this case, they didn't. When Republicans came back, they said, look, we know that you guys want funding for opioid addiction. Opioid addiction is a problem in North Carolina. So as a result, we will give you the funding for that. But what they didn't tell Democrats was that in order to pay for that, they would have to strip, or they would strip, funding for public education and other programs within their districts. Okay, so it strips 316,000 from nearly 2 college high schools in Northampton and Washington counties, and it specifically bans state funding from supporting a summer science, math, and technology program called Eastern North Carolina STEM. Okay, 7 counties represented by Smith Ingram, that is a Democratic representative there, and fellow Democratic Senator Angela Bryant were removed. Instead, the program will only apply to several counties represented by Republican senators.
So when Bush got elected, he said, look, I'm going to be everybody's president. And that's something that that all these guys who come in the beginning, and same thing for Obama. And then they would say to Obama over and over again, you've got to reach out to Republicans, because you're not just the president of Democrats, you're the president of the whole country, and you have to make sure to represent Republicans as well. Okay, so that's a standard thing that you used to hear for on both sides. Mm-hmm. Now the Republicans have dropped all pretenses. So in North Carolina, they're like, no, if you are a citizen of North Carolina, but you live in a district that's represented by a Democrat, we're going to hurt you.
We're going to hurt you. Yeah, we're going to punish you because your representatives had the audacity to fight to fund help toward those who are suffering from an opioid epidemic.
Yeah,
right?
So that's the insult to injury. They're like, look, we don't actually care about any of the citizens of North Carolina. So if there's an opioid problem, that's their problem, not my problem. And if they're Republicans, if it affects their family, then they'll come and go, nobody knew that opioid was a real problem. It turns out, but now I'm affected. Oh my God, let's fund it.
It's a huge issue.
It's a huge issue. That's what they do time and time again. But for now, they're like, no. I don't care about the citizens of North Carolina. I don't care if they get treatment, they don't get treatment. I don't care how bad the epidemic is. I don't care. Now, the problem with the Democrats is they do care. So I'm going to hold the citizens of North Carolina hostage. Mm-hmm. And until the Democrats pay the ransom, which is I get to strip your education funding, I'm not going to give you the help you need.
So here's the issue, though. Look, I agree that Democrats, on average, tend to concede very easily with Republicans and what their demands are. However, in this case, and this is an issue that we see not just in North Carolina, but on a national level, the Democratic lawmakers did not read the budget proposal. They just did it. By the time the Republicans came back from that recess, that 2-hour-long recess, it was 3 a.m. And so they just, took whatever Republicans said at face value without reading the terms of this agreement or this proposal and voted yes. And that's the part that drives me crazy. Look, I've gotten into debates with several people, on panels on this show regarding that issue, right? Oh, well, these lawmakers are busy or they have too much on their plates. They're too busy fundraising or whatever garbage they're getting involved in, right? I don't care. You are voting on the future of the individuals that you were voted to represent. You need to read what you're voting for. Okay.
Well, the Democrats in North Carolina are particularly weak and pathetic. So we had a Democrat win the governorship, and then they stripped him of most of his powers, and he just stood there and took it. He did a press conference where he was like, well, I understand why they did it, and we'll have to negotiate. No, you're supposed to come out roaring and say, they just robbed you. You elected me. All of the citizens of North Carolina just elected me. Not a long time ago, you just voted. And then they basically took your vote away. They robbed you of your vote by stripping me of really important powers. But they didn't. They turned to the Republicans and said, thank you, sir, may I have another?
Right.
And so, you know what they got? They got another. So then now the Republicans did it to him again, and they're like, oh golly gee, it's late in the day and we didn't want to read it. God, for stand up, will you? For Christ's sake, stand up and fight back. If you had strong Democrats in North Carolina, they would pummel these Republicans. Look, think about how monstrous it is. I'm for Harbaugh, right? But I would, if I'm in a state legislature, I would never vote to take away education money from Republican districts. Because it's not those kids' fault.
Right.
I mean, they had it bad enough growing up with Republican parents. Okay, I'm not going to take away their education funding because I want them to get educated. I want them to be better. I want them to have opportunity. I want them to have the American dream. The Republicans go, I don't care about your kids. And what are you doing, Democrats in North Carolina? For God's sake, stand up and fight back. If you fought back, they already voted for a Democratic governor in North Carolina. They voted for Obama. It's not like it's not doable. It's eminently doable if you would just goddamn it fight back.
Well, as Senator Erica Smith Ingram says, nobody knew what they were voting on. It happened so quickly. That's not an excuse. Sorry.
All right, next story.
All right. A television corporation known as Sinclair is planning on acquiring Tribune Media and becoming another huge media conglomerate. Now, there are some ramifications to this, especially when you consider the fact that they force the networks that they work with to run these so-called must-run ads. And they're produced by Sinclair, and they are very obviously right-leaning. Now, during the election campaign last year, it sent out a package that suggested, in part, that voters should not support Hillary Clinton because the Democratic Party was historically pro-slavery. Now, I know that there are a lot of Democrats who did not like Hillary, who didn't want to vote for Hillary, but they felt that way due to, I would argue, justifiable reasons. The Democratic Party being historically in favor of slavery is not one of the reasons why people didn't want to vote in favor of Hillary. No,
that's a classic propaganda lie,
yeah,
that people who are right-wing put out there for the purpose of deceiving you. So they're talking about ancient history when the parties were reversed, when Democrats were largely the conservative party and the Republicans were the liberal party,
right,
under Abraham Lincoln. That's why Abraham Lincoln fought against the Confederacy and their slaves. What they don't tell you is that in 1964, because of the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, the parties in essence switched. And the Republicans did what is called the Southern Strategy, to make sure they can get racist voters in the South to vote for the Republican Party. They said, look at this Democratic Party and Lyndon Johnson that passed the Civil Rights Act to give black people the same rights as white people. Outrageous. We're now the racist party. Okay? That's what the Republicans did under Richard Nixon. So when Sinclair runs those ads, they say, not only are we Republican right-wingers, but we are intending to deceive you by pretending that the Democrats of today are in favor of slavery and the Republicans are against it, when in reality the Republicans just stripped away that same protections of the Civil Rights Act. Today the right-wing Supreme Court did and the Republicans celebrated it. They're the racist party.
Right.
They know it, and they know it's not popular, so they try to smear the other party.
That's right.
And now they're going to have more TV stations to do that with.
They are. And that's one of the biggest issues with conglomerates, right? Because if you have one corporation or just a handful of corporations taking complete control of the content that you see, either in local news or news on a national level, you're going to have a problem, right? You're going to have a certain slant, a certain political bias, and that's what we're experiencing right now. So let me give you more details. It wasn't just the Hillary ad that they were playing. Apparently, since November of 2015, Sinclair has ordered its stations to run a daily segment called that has to do with terrorism. It's from the Terrorism Alert Desk, which updates on terrorism-related news around the world. So, of course, classic fear-mongering. Now, they're proposing an acquisition of Tribune Media, which would add 42 stations to Sinclair's 173. So its stations would reach more than 70% of the nation's households, including of the largest markets, okay? So that would include New York, Los Angeles, those are the biggest markets right now. Also, the journalists at Como, that is a news station in Seattle, described small acts of rebellion, like airing the segments at times of low viewership or immediately before or after commercial breaks, so they blend in with paid spots. They all spoke on condition of anonymity, citing fear of reprisal from the company. So they're concerned that they're gonna face some retaliation if they don't run these must-run ads that they don't agree with because they're very obviously politically biased. To be fair to Como News, they're not interested in reporting news from political bias, either from the left or the right. And so the journalists that work there are concerned about their reputation and their credibility if these types of ads run on their network or their station, I should say.
Now, could you imagine if a media organization put out ads saying, themselves putting out ads saying Republicans are the pro-slavery party? What would happen? Liberal media bias, we knew it, we knew it. How dare they? We should shut them down. This is the problem with the liberal media. Instead, they reverse the truth and they say the Democrats are the pro-slavery party. And everybody's like, oh, that's fine. Let's let them buy more stations.
They do rant against the liberal media. In fact, here is the head of Sinclair Broadcast Group talking about fake media. This is one of the must-run ads.
Hi, I'm Scott Livingston, Vice President of News for this television station. We know our greatest responsibility is serving our local communities. I'm extremely proud of the journalism that this station produces. But I'm sure you know about the troubling trend of irresponsible and one-sided news stories plaguing our country. The sharing of bias and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, national media outlets are publishing these fake news stories without fact-checking. Unfortunately, some members of the national media are using their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think.
If that isn't projection, I don't know what is.
If George Orwell saw that, he'd scream, told you they'd be doing that. As they do propaganda over and over again on Sinclair, they do another piece of propaganda to tell you the rest of the media is biased.
Yeah.
If it wasn't so haunting and they didn't control such a large portion of our media in America, it would be hilarious.
You know, last Friday, Newt Gingrich was speaking to Sean Hannity on Fox News, and they were discussing fake news. And Gingrich suggested that maybe it makes sense to have, he didn't use this word, but this is what he implied, state-sponsored media, right? And Hannity's like, yeah, that's a great idea, that's a great idea. It's incredible how we're just completely moving back as a country. We are regressing as a country. How can you not be in favor of our First Amendment rights for free reporting, right? I don't know. That's just the country that we're living in right now, and it's insane.
Okay, so for our Sirius audience, much love. Thank you for listening on this first day that we're back on SiriusXM. For everyone else who's watching live, we do have one more quick segment for you guys, so we'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks, let me read some tweets for you guys. Derek Martin says, arresting a kid is par for the course with this administration. Trump goes after fourth graders to prove no one is off limits. Art Murray says, let me sum up the Trump immigration policy. If you're brown, you're gone. It's not about crime or papers, it's racism. Molly McButta says, imagine now how my son might react if ICE was able to come and take him out of class. Without my permission, my own child.
It's just scary, it really is.
Yeah. And Joy says, GOP is against education because an educated populace votes Democratic. One of the haunting things that I saw when I was in Charleston earlier this year, so we went to go visit a plantation. And we were in the slave quarters and we were reading some of the stuff that they had done in the past. And one of the things they explained was that they were not allowed to get an education. Mm-hmm. Now, if you thought that they were subhuman, which is what their claim was at the time, why would you care, right? You would assume that they're not capable of it anyway. They're not as capable as you, right? They're not as smart as you, so why bother? Like, would you have to pass a law saying cows are not allowed to read and write? You wouldn't have to pass that law, right? You don't need that law.
Right.
But they passed one to make sure, whatever you do, don't let blacks get educated, okay? And so this has been going on for a long, long time. Okay, we have one more story for you guys, and then this story is kind of fun, kind of creepy. It's got a poll, and then we'll do the postgame for you guys.
Okay. Trump is really creepy when it comes to his daughter, but it turns out that his lawyer is also extremely creepy when it comes to his own daughter. Case in point, recent tweet by Michael Cohen. Again, this is the lawyer for Donald Trump. He decides to tweet out a seductive, sexy picture of his own daughter and says, "So proud of my Ivy League daughter, brains and beauty," channeling Eddie Sedgwick on Instagram. Then he plugs her Instagram, whatever, who cares. What is going on? Why would you post that picture? Like, I think it's super sweet that you're proud of your daughter, but it's just a strange picture to post, especially like with the hosiery and the lacy black bra and the seductive like pose. Like, my dad would be mortified if he came across that photo, and he certainly would not share it.
My dad would say, "What is this?" Okay. Now look, guys, we're not trying to judge her. Bless her heart. She does what she does.
She looks beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that photo. The only thing that's questionable is that her dad shared it in a public forum.
No, that photo is lovely, and I'm sure many men have enjoyed that photo. But knowing that, I mean, when you think about your own daughter, why would you, like, what's wrong with these people? And maybe, you know what, maybe we're not liberal enough. Maybe Michael Cohen is more enlightened than we are, and he's like, "Go ahead, guys, look at my daughter," and like,
maybe you're right. I don't know.
If you like half naked tricks, I got one for you. It's my daughter. You should check her out. Okay? Like, of all the pictures on Instagram, he picked that one. You see what I'm saying? It's like he could have picked a different one. Like, "Hey, look at how beautiful my daughter is. God bless, and a nice dress, whatever."
Aside from like the fact that it's her father and it feels creepy, I think that a photo like that takes away from what the main point that he's trying to make. He's trying to make a point about how she's an Ivy League student or Ivy League graduated. She's super smart, right? Mm-hmm. And she also happens to be attractive. But being attractive should be like, you know, the little side note. This photo just says, "My daughter's a sex pot. My daughter's a sex pot." You know what I'm saying?
Nobody's getting Ivy League educated out of this picture.
That's right. Yes, that's the point. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, that was, God bless your heart,
way better than I said it.
You could have sent that message in 1,000 different ways. Okay, but I'm sure Twitter just let him off the hook, right?
Oh, totally. Let me give you an example of how they let him off the hook. So a bunch of people responded to that tweet. Let me give you a taste. Mimi says, "The last time my dad posted a pic of me in lingerie was never."
I already love that.
Yep. Amanda says, "Super duper creepy. Ew, man, what the fuck?" And then someone shared this lovely gem of Donald Trump and his daughter. Which, by the way, that's a really cute, sweet picture until you hear how Donald Trump talks about his daughter.
Yeah, without context, that's a perfectly fine picture, right? But we know that they've taken many pictures like that together. And again, even with that, no problem. Except for the fact that Donald Trump has said on 3 different occasions that if Ivanka was not his daughter, he would be interested in dating her. Okay?
Yeah.
So when you put that context in, that picture takes a whole different connotation. And then his lawyer, like, bragging about his daughter in lingerie takes another connotation.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. Anyway, so of course, Michael Cohen did read some of the responses he got from his tweet. Or for his tweet. And his only response back to the insult or the criticism was jealous.
What?
Which is even weirder.
You're such a weirdo, dude. No, I'm not jealous that my daughter is not posing in lingerie and having men enjoy that picture throughout, and that I'm promulgating. No, I'm not remotely jealous of that. Okay, but you know what? I realized while we're doing this story, Anna, maybe this is his way of sucking up to the boss. Him saying, like, "Hey, you know what? I'm into my daughter too."
Oh my God, I can't okay. deal with this country right now.
So I don't know what's going through his mind, and you know, with Trump, like, he likes sycophants. Like, if you say, "Hey, oh, Donnie, you're so right, Donnie. You're a good boy, Donnie boy. Of course, who doesn't want to sleep with their daughter, right, Donald? You know what I'm saying, right? Here, let me show you a nearly naked picture of my daughter," right? And Donald be like, "Oh, that's my kind of guy."
Gross.
He's in a pod. Okay. This whole story.
I would be mortified if my dad shared that photo, right? Uh-huh. If I had taken a photo like that, if my dad tweeted it,
I'm picturing,
Dad, what are you doing?
Like, what is the male equivalent, right? You know, my dad is tweeting a picture of me in Speedos. Like, oh, I'm so proud of my Ivy League educated son. Plus, look at the package on this guy.
Oh my God, that'd be hilarious. That's disturbing.
Okay. God save us from these fools. All right, we're out of time, guys, but we do have a wonderful post game for you guys. Calista and Newt Gingrich, what new poster are they getting apparently from Donald Trump? And who is top and who is bottom? TYTnetwork.com/join to hear that post game. Bye bye.